All right. And let's go ahead and figure this darn thing out. I could say morning wine cellar, but it is 11:27 p.m. So this is just before I go get on the shift wine cellar, because I start the shift at 2 in the a.m. All right. So real quick, real fast, taking a look at some of these things. Ford, and this is off of CBA.ca News Canada, all right, and out there in Toronto, the Ford folks, they say that OPP on protesters, they brought a guillotine to Queen's Park, and that just goes way overboard, all right. The OPP, they were informed about a group of protesters who brought a fake guillotine to Queen's Park on Wednesday, the premier's office announced. And, quote, Doug Ford, which I think that might be Rob Ford's sibling, said, yesterday went a little too far. As a matter of fact, it goes way overboard, end quote. A few hundred people showed up to the protest outside Queen's Park in what was called a general strike against Doug Ford. Several masked attendees carried the wooden guillotine dotted with red paint onto the lawn and held signs that said, "No cuts but this cut." And that's an all right deal right there in, over there in Canada, where niggas like Fallon Matthew be posted up in the joint. those libertarians over there at the Free Thought Project, they have this one up from May 1st. Cops charged after a video shows them pulling a disabled man from his home and torturing him in his front yard. And in the images that they have up there, it looks like they're holding a water hose and just like Duke is on the ground. And the cops just stand, just spraying him in the face, like one steady, and it looks like it's on that hard stream. So it's like that, you know, the hoses that have a nozzle with different settings. And it looks like they have it on that hard stream setting. And Free Thought Project just gave me a fucking pop-up. All right. And basically, the only reason why, of course, is because there is footage. All right. And that footage out there is going to maybe get this this individual a check. They're not going to get justice. That ain't going to happen. But they might get a check. So out there in Flint, Michigan, Flint, Michigan with the water. And this one up May 3rd. Right now it's May 6th, 2019. And this is on M Live, Michigan Live. We've come from this news outlet a couple of times here. And this one is up by Ron Fonger. All right. And a Genesee Circuit Court judge has given prosecutors a little more time to review what they say could be new information related to the Flint water crisis, but not so much time as they requested. Judge Joseph Farah on Friday, May 3rd, denied a request from prosecutors to wait 6 months until issuing his decision on whether the case against former State Department Health and Human Services Director Nick Lyon, aptly named, can move close to a jury trial, but said he would wait until June 14th before ruling on the most serious charges that are pending. All right. And this is a quote from Farah. They said, quote, "It's time for the midnight pizzas and Coca-Colas. It's time for everybody to roll up their sleeves and redouble their efforts. It's time for that," end quote. Before Hamid filed a motion requesting a stay in court proceedings in the Lyon case, Farah had been expecting to rule May 17th on a separate request from Lyon's attorneys that four criminal charges against him be dismissed because of errors during his preliminary examination. So, folks, there's going to be a lot of this, because remember, back when we started really coming back on this Flint water deal because apparently when it's not in the, you know, Rachel Maddow doesn't care anymore. All right. Like, and keep in mind, again, who was the first one to start covering the story? A populist, Jim Hightower, first started covering it. And when did Jim Hightower first start covering Flint water? When the city made the decision to switch the fucking source, right? So before the lead was in people's homes, Jim Hightower was covering this. A populist, a leftist populist, all right? Not a liberal, a populist. All right, and remember, like, there was a handful of these folks. So these things are going to keep coming down with these extensions and this class privilege and reopen closed tab. That's the thing that I might want to go on ahead and do down there. I tell you what. taking a look at CNN, New York City, first major city to allow free calls from jail. All right, doesn't say prison, it says jail. Taking a quick look here, this is a quote from Charter School de Blasio, quote, "For too long have people in custody faced barriers to basic aspects of everyday life that can help create more humane jails," end quote. Humane jails. This is the kind of shit that a European will just open up their face and say on purpose. Humane jails. Alright. So they were previously charged 50 cents for the first minute of a phone call and 5 cents for every additional minute. Alright. And now the Department of Correction will cover the cost of more than 25,000 calls that are made from New York City jails. People in the general population will be able to make calls every 3 hours anywhere in the United States for a total of 21 minutes. Quote, with this is again from Charter School de Blasio, and to quote, oh damn, I think she died recently. God, I work a lot of hours. Erica Garner, de Blasio, just because you like black pussy doesn't mean you care about black people. Harsh quote, heavy-handed, but keeping it mad greasy. And it's a quote from him. With free phone calls, we're ensuring that people in custody have the opportunity to remain connected to their lawyers, families, and support networks that are so crucial to re-entry into one's community. That's right. For 21 minutes, you can get all that somehow. Got 'em, coach. All right. And that's coming off of CNN.com by Lauren M. Johnson. All right. Let me take a look here. This is on PRI.org. All right. And this is up by just by the staff. And it and this is tagged under Women and Girls. And it says, the English Collective says Brexit unfairly targets sex workers for deportation. Whoa, hey, ha, what? Let's take a look here. Excuse me. So an individual that goes by the name of Laura Watson is the spokesperson for the English Collective of, and they use this word, prostitutes. All right, that's the word they're using here for the name of their organization. It's the English Collective of Prostitutes in London, the ECP. She spoke with the world's Carol Hills about the Brexit, about what Brexit has meant for numerous and foreign, again, they're using the word prostitutes, residing in the UK, and what her organization is doing to help foreign sex workers who are being unfairly threatened and deported from around the story. And I want to go ahead and I want to link this thing with the web post for this episode so you folks can check out this interview. But just a little bit from it. So the Carol, they ask a question. Is there a way to put simply what rights sex workers in Britain have, whether British or non-British? All right. And the answer to that is sex workers have the rights that other people have. For example, you don't have to let police in if they don't have a warrant, and you don't have to give the police a statement. It's legal to work as a sex worker, but it's illegal to work with somebody else, and it's illegal to loiter and solicit on the street. To be working legally, you can work from premises, but you have to be completely on your own. Women don't want to work in that way. It's a very scary way to work. You're completely isolated is the answer delivered to that question. And I want to link this with the web post for this little morning wine cellar from 11:37 p.m. because I need to be in that factory doing machine stuff with wrenches and whatnot at 2 a.m., so I actually need to be out of here pretty darn soon because I like to get to work, a little over 30 minutes early, get acclimated. You know how it is. All right. This NBC News.com/think, which is like a bit of a sidearm here. So it's opinion, analysis and essays. And this is tagged hot take. All right. And there it is. It says, Martin Rickett is the photographer. So I'm not seeing the name of who this hot take is attributed to, but let's take a little look at it. There's an individual that goes by the name of Castor Semenya. And Castor Semenya is a cisgender black woman who was an athletic person. They do the track running, I think it's called sprinting. I don't know a great deal about sports, but I know that they run fast. All right. And it says that in this title that Castor Semenya is being forced to alter her body to make slower runners feel secure in their womanhood. So now this is an opinion piece. Oh, it's by Chase Strongio, and Case Strongio is a trans activist and staff attorney with the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. Okay, there we go. So, the discrimination against some women is, quote, necessary to protect other women, according to the Court of Arbitration for Sports ruling in the Castor Semenya case. And the Castor decision comes in the challenge of an International Association of Athletic Federations regulations for athletes with differences of sex development brought by Semenya, the black South African runner who produces more testosterone naturally than has been deemed typical for cisgender women. The regulations that Semenya challenged would require her to artificially suppress her hormone levels in order to continue to compete in women's events in the executive summary of the still confidential full decision. All right. And the confidentials, the court explained that the regulations are discriminatory, but that such discrimination is necessary. And there is a link to that court explanation in this piece that we're going to go ahead and have a link with the web post to this. And let's take a little bit more of a look at some of this here. So Semenya did have something to say about this. She said, quote, I know that the IAAF's regulations have always targeted me specifically. For a decade, IAAF has tried to slow me down, but this has actually made me stronger. She continues saying, quote, the decision of the CAS will not hold me back. I will once again rise above and continue to inspire young women and athletes in South Africa and around the world. End quote. All right. And something else that this person puts in this article is many people reacted to the decision, having mischaracterized Semenya's identity, calling her transgender, and she's not. She is a cisgender woman, and she just produces way more testosterone than women should be making. An individual named Katrina Karkazis explains in The Guardian back in March, quote, labeling women biological males draws a dubious connection between sex, testosterone, athleticism that relies on a long discarded ideas that men and women can have a, quote, true sex, that testosterone is a male sex hormone and that testosterone is the key to superior athleticism. None of these are true, and it's long overdue that people stop saying they are. Interesting stuff. Me, I'm pretty basic. Like we're actually, like, with this dialogue, we're getting out of my league, folks. I'm not that smart. Taking just one last little look at a little bit more of this article. Well, it's a think piece, hot take, opinion analysis essays off of NBCNews.com. And two more paragraphs we'll take a look at here. Bodies are often coded as appropriately male or appropriately female through a lens of racism and white supremacy, and that lens is used to police some bodies in the alleged service of others. Just Google Serena Williams or Michelle Obama alongside anti-transgender slurs to see how black bodies and trans bodies are policed out of the category of woman. I would add, do that with trigger warning on hand. Some folks may already have that in mind. And taking a look here, this deliberate narrative about testosterone and maleness is used to hurt both black cisgender women like Semenya and all transgender women who are being systemically excluded from women's spaces and categories. Caster Semenya is not a man. She is a black woman runner who is being subjected to repeated public scrutiny and invasive bodily regulation because she disrupts expectations. And I want to link this up with the web post on winecellarmedia.com with a few more things, right? Can't really get to it all. Right now it's 11:43 in the p.m. And I need to make sure I have my lunch together for work, do a little chore, water a little plant, you know, and get my hygiene popping. You know how that goes. And get my arse on down here to the factory. All right. And everybody knows the true truth. Oh man, where is that? Where is that?
If you manual laborers would work as hard as the owners, you wouldn't be so poor now, would you?
You manual laborers. All right, motherfuckers. We always have the old patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. Please get me out of this factory. And the old paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam. That's the old tip jar. All right, let's get it going. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are.